Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pretty much all of you know that I stress reading of the scriptures all the time, especially the gospels. And I happen to know that some of you are very confused by the gospels. You say they're very hard to understand, and you're right. In fact, all of us are confused by the gospels. Everyone except the holiest of holy people is confused by the gospels because it's a very deep message. Really, you can speak three words of the gospel and not understand them if you study them your entire life. But that does not excuse us from studying these words of life. So I thought I would look at this parable of Lazarus and the rich man and show you that even if it's complicated, you can understand things that are really important for your life. So this applies to all of the gospel. It applies to everywhere. It applies to Leviticus, which is complicated, or Deuteronomy. You can find things that are really useful to your soul if you just read with an open mind, read with expectation, read with desire. So the parable of the rich man and Lazarus is one of the most complex parables in all of Scripture. And in fact, the fathers don't even agree on all aspects of it. Just take one aspect about the dogs licking the sores of Lazarus. Some take that to show that Lazarus was sinful. Another take it to show that the dogs were merciful, but the rich man wasn't. So that's complicated. There's a lot of themes. Themes about hell and about heaven, about Hades, about repentance after death, whether it's possible. Rebuking the Jewish elite is in there. What our time on earth is for. But those are all complicated things. But there's something very uncomplicated in here. And I want to focus on the one uncomplicated thing, or one of the uncomplicated things. So you need to read the scriptures and find these things and then change based upon finding these things. So the story basically is there's a rich man. He fares sumptuously every day. He's always eating big meals. He's in perfect clothing. He's got servants galore. He doesn't have a care in the world. But there is a poor man, Lazarus, by his gate, which means the rich man was aware of who he was, saw him, knew him, probably didn't speak to him, but he certainly knew he was there. He wasn't invisible to the rich man. That's an important point. He wasn't invisible at all. And so the rich man dies, and he goes into Hades in torments. And the Lazarus, this unknown person to the rich man, this sort of non-entity to the rich man, dies and is with Abraham in paradise. And so there's this conversation that occurs. Now remember, this is a parable. So just like, I don't want to belittle it or anything, but like in some stories like fairy tales or comic strips, you see people do things that are really physically impossible, but they're for particular reason to tell the story. And so here we have the rich man, the unnamed rich man, by the way, another important point, that he doesn't have a name. Lazarus, the one who suffered, does. So he's talking to Abraham and asking Lazarus to come and help him. And so Abraham explains all these things to him, that he can't come. And then the rich man begs for him to send Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his brothers, and he says that wouldn't help, because if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, why would they believe even if one rises from the dead? So there's all kinds of themes here, and complicated themes. Here's the uncomplicated thing I want to tell you. So if you tuned out until now, you can tune in, because this is very, very important. This is very important. So the rich man wasn't particularly a terrible guy. He just didn't care about Lazarus. He didn't abuse Lazarus. He just didn't take care of him. And he had his own things that he did in his life. And so Abraham says to him, when he asked that Lazarus, when the rich man has said, ask Lazarus just to dip his finger in water and put it on my tongue because I'm parched from the flames. Abraham says this, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. That's the simple thing. In life, we are to do good, and in life there is a reward for what we do or what we don't do, and there is punishment for what we do or what we don't do. This is a principle of life. And if we are rewarded in this life only, then we are truly very poor people, because we are like the rich man, to be rewarded only in this life. So this life is temporary, and the next life is eternal. And what happens in this life determines what will happen in the next life. That's pretty simple. And if you read that, unless you're an absolute saint, then you should tremble a little bit. Because do you make the best use of your time? Do you care about everybody? Is there a Lazarus in your life that you step over when you go into your house? Of course, we're speaking metaphorically here. There's many Lazaruses all over. You don't have to be a priest to know that people are suffering like crazy in this world. Everywhere you go, people are suffering terribly. The majority of it is mental, spiritual suffering, but that's very real suffering. People with deep depression and unhappiness, despondency, lack of purpose. Then there are those that are very poor or sick or in abusive relationships or suffering because of a son or a daughter or a husband who's doing poorly in some way with alcoholism or whatever else. There's a great amount of suffering in the world. We are responsible to have eyes to see it and ears to hear it. Because in this world, we can receive our good things. But if we only receive good things in this world and don't give thanks to God, and out of those good things give good to others, then we won't receive any good things in the next life. That's pretty simple. Now, some people might not like that message. There's a whole 400 years, I guess it's 500 years, right? Because we just heard of the 500 years since the Reformation. So it's been about 500 years that people are trying to say that salvation is not attached or related to how you act. Well, it's very much related to how you act. We are to be light because God is light. And so when we read this, that Abraham says, you had your good things in this world, and Lazarus has bad things, but now you have bad things and he has good things. To paraphrase it a little bit, we should tremble. Now there's another application to this. One of the greatest sins that we possess, probably every single one of us without exception, is we complain. Oh, we complain about everything. We complain about traffic. We complain about somebody that was rude to us on the phone. I mean, such stupid things we complain about. We complain about this aspect of our life, or we don't have a good job, or somebody got a promotion, or somebody bores me, or whatever it is. We complain, complain, complain. But what does the scripture tell us? Lazarus received bad things, but in this life, in the next life, good. What you get in this life is immaterial. It doesn't matter whether you have good things or bad things. What matters is, what kind of person are you? Are you kind to others? If you're kind to others, which means that you have love in your heart, if you have love in your heart, that means God is in your heart, which means you will be saved. But if you're not kind to others, it doesn't matter what else you know. It doesn't matter if you get rich or if you're poor, because your reward will be in this life. We are to think forward. The reward is in the next life. And so many times we think only in this moment. We don't like what's happening to us now. Well, the scripture is quite clear. What's happening to you now or tomorrow is not so important, whether it's good or whether it's bad even. What's important is, what are you becoming? Are you becoming good? Do you see the Lazaruses in your life, and do you reach out to them and help them in some way? At least by prayer, by a good word, by some sort of material help. That's what we must be doing. Or else we are like the rich man, and we have our reward in this life. Now perhaps some of you think, well, I don't have much of a reward in this life. I have this trouble and this trouble and this trouble. That's a foolish way to think. We eat better than Egyptian kings ate. And we're more comfortable than them too, no matter how poor we are. And so we have our good things in this life. Let us make sure that we also have good things in the next, by not just doing nothing with our good things. That was a rich man's great sin. Being rich is not a sin. Eating good food is not a sin. But being rich and not giving to others out of your rich, out of your wealth, that is what we need to do. If we don't give out of our wealth to others, and that wealth might be something that's not monetary. I'm going to tell you something. You might think this is funny, but it's really true. It's a great gift to not be crazy. It's a great gift to not have some sort of serious mental illness, some problem where you just can't cope with things. If you're blessed with that gift, what are you doing with it? All around you, there are people who aren't coping. What are you doing with that gift that you can actually see life more or less, except for, of course, the spiritual delusions that we all have? You can see life more or less as it really is. I know a lot of people that can't. It's a common affliction in the world. What are we going to do about those people? We're going to just step over them? That's not Christianity. Christianity is to recognize that God has given us good things, and we must then give good things to others, and not to have rest in these good things like the rich man did. He didn't think to give to others because of the good things that he had, and because of that he went into torments. You see how simple Scripture is? Scripture is about learning to be a decent human being. Now, of course, theologically, now this is where maybe it's a little more complicated. I apologize if it's a little more complicated now, but the underlying reason why we are trying to become good human beings is because Jesus Christ, he is the example of the perfect human being. And so we measure everything according to him. And we are called to become like him so that we can share in God, so that we can know him intimately and have union with him. And so we are trying to learn to become decent human beings as Jesus Christ is, to become good like he is, to have love for others like he has, to be humble like he humbled himself, to take Lazaruses by the hand and lift them up as he did so many times and continues to do. This is our calling. And it's really very simple. Are you trying to be a good person or not? Do you think of others or not? Do you live with the idea? And it's not really an idea. It should be like conviction, as much as that you know that you're a human being with hands and feet. You don't have to think you have hands and feet. You just know it inherently. And therefore, you can use these hands and feet for things. Well, so you have God in your heart. And so that should shine out to others. Christianity is not a static thing. It's not a passive thing. There's nothing passive about Christianity at all. Christianity is about struggle in the arena, and then as God fills you with his presence, then you have strength to help others in some way, even if it's only that you pray for them. It doesn't matter if there's all the problems in your life. You can always care about people. Nobody has an excuse to not care about people. Nobody. I don't care how miserable your life is, how many troubles you've gone through, nobody has an excuse to not care about people. Because if we care about others, whether they're in our immediate family, our immediate circle of friends, people we see often, or just people that we even don't even know personally but find out about in some way, then this is the love of God coming into us and then going out to others and making us alive. So see, Scripture is pretty simple. You'll find stuff like this all over Scripture. Basically, it is sort of a check of yourself. What kind of person are you? Are you good or bad? Are you bad but getting better? If so, then that's a good thing. But if you're bad or just sort of not even noticing things, that's not good. That's not good for you at all. So this principle here is very important. St. John Chrysostom, he has about 8 sermons on it. And if I read you his sermons, you would get very confused. They're very complicated. But overall, the message is this. God has blessed you. What are you doing with it? You doing something? Or is it just day to day? You go to work, you do this, you do that. We're responsible for what God has given us. There you go, something very simple from the Scriptures. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.